Hey, when you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about those out-of-pocket costs. Now, that can be a lot of money, but are your medical bills accurate? Now, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills actually contain errors. Now, HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, or fraud. Now, you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, to date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Check them out online, healthlock.com. Go there today. Now, nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries or maybe a quarter of a tank of gas if you're lucky. You know what it will get you, though? For just $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk and text and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk. Make the switch today, and if you do it today, you save an additional 50% off your first month. They use the same 5G network, same cell towers as the big carriers, and most families saving close to $1,000 a month. Just go to puretalk.com/Sean, that's Sean, S-E-A-N. Make the switch today so you can actually afford that burger and fries. Hey, Sean Hannity here. If you're in a situation where you feel threatened, well, instinct, that might drive you to reach for a lethal means immediately. But we all want to avoid the irreversible consequences of using deadly force. Now, enter the Byrner Less Lethal Pistol Launcher. It is equipped with tear gas and kinetic ammo. It can incapacitate any attacker for up to 40 minutes. It's legal in all 50 states. It requires no background checks, and it can be shipped right to your door. Go to their website, byrna.com/Hannity right now, and you'll get 10% off. All right, News Roundup, Information Overload Hour, Sean Hannity Show. 44 days, Americans abandoned by Joe Biden, but he's turning the page behind enemy lines with the Taliban, terrorists, now out there publicly executing people, beating women. Girls can't go to school, women can't go to work, just like the good old days in their minds. Sick, ugly, twisted, morally bankrupt. And now we left behind hundreds of Americans, thousands of green card holders. Let me explain what a green card holder means. Those are people that are eligible to be in the United States, legally eligible to be here. And then, of course, tens of thousands of Afghan allies, including databases and, let's see, biometrics that will confirm whether or not they had helped America at any point in the last 20 years. They will all be killed. You know, we've been trying to warn people and trying to make people aware of what's happening. But Joe Biden, he's dealing with the very professional and businesslike Taliban, and he turned the page and he says, I make no apologies how I handled abandoning Americans behind enemy lines. Listen.
The leader of India, Japan and Australia, and we're going to be talking about Afghanistan, which is a legitimate thing for people to talk about. But the truth of the matter is, the end of the day is we were spending $300 million a day for 20 years. There was no easy way to end that. And we're now still getting people out. But it's really, there's no picture book way to say, okay, the war's ended, let's get everybody out and we'll go home. No war's ever ended that way, other than there's been a surrender and it's a totally different circumstance. So anyway, there's a lot, I'm sure, along the line, that there are things I could have done better, but I make no apologies for my proposals, how I'm proceeding, and why I think by the end of the year we're going to be in a very different place.
Yeah, what about the Americans you abandoned, Joe, and their families and green card holders and Afghan allies that'll be murdered? No apologies. Then you got this idiot, Tony Blinken. I love this State Department. You know, they're saying to Americans on literally sitting on the tarmac at Mazar-e Sharif Airport, they're saying, well, if you're flying out of there, you do not have permission to land in the U.S. Why not? They're Americans. And if you get permission from a third country to land, that's fine. But if they need our approval, that approval will not be forthcoming. Why not? Why would they need to? And then there are these idiots are then saying to people caught behind enemy lines, well, the office of the State Department is now closed in Kabul. You'll need to go to another country to get your proper paperwork to get out of Afghanistan. The problem is you need the paperwork to get the hell out of Afghanistan. If you have any chance of getting out of Afghanistan, and it looks like you really don't anyway. I mean, it can't get any dumber than that. The same idiot saying, you might want to make your way to the airport now, but we cannot guarantee your safety. And then when you're at the airport, they're saying, you might not want to come on the Saturday before the Tuesday deadline because it's not a good day there. And then if you're at the airport, we're expecting potential terrorist attack. You may want to leave now. This is what they're saying, but we can't guarantee your safety at all times. It's unbelievable. This is Tony Blinken. This is the same idiot trying to lecture the Taliban. Now, they're out there. They've already taken girls out of school. They're now beating women in the streets. They're telling women how to dress. They're telling women that full Sharia law is now in effect. Now they're hanging people all over the place, shooting other people in broad daylight in the head as they now go door to door to try and find any Afghan allies of the U.S. with a database and the biometrics and the military equipment, the most sophisticated in the world, left behind by Joe Biden for the terrorists. And Tony Blinken, the guy who was lecturing the Taliban on inclusiveness, now expects the Taliban to uphold basic rights. Tony, it's too late. They're already killing them. Do you not follow the news? Do you not watch any of the videos? You caused this. The single most preventable thing that you could have done while you saw the Taliban on the march, you could have pushed them back. That would include drone strikes. It would have been simple and stop them in their tracks and buy more time. In the interim, you could be speeding up the withdrawal process, identifying every American in Kabul, in Afghanistan, and making sure you could communicate with them and getting them out while you had full control of Kabul and Afghanistan and the northern sections of Afghanistan. You didn't do any of that. And while you are telling us, Joe Biden's telling the world, it's one of the best trained militaries on the face of the earth, they had already taken over 50% of the country in terms of geographic area. Just lied through his teeth. Sick and tired of being lied to. Listen to this cut. You just can't believe Tony Blinken. The Biden administration expects the Taliban to uphold basic rights. You're such an idiot. They're terrorists, you moron.
We expect the Taliban to ensure freedom of travel, to make good on his commitments on counterterrorism, to uphold the basic rights of the Afghan people, including women, girls, and minorities, to name a broadly representative permanent government, to forswear reprisals.
Okay, joining us now, David Lyon, former BBC journalist. He's got an upcoming book on the war in Afghanistan called The Long War, The Inside Story of America and Afghanistan Since 9/11. He's been covering these events in Afghanistan since 1996 when he was reporting on the Taliban when they took Kabul for the first time. And thank you for being back with us. How is it possible that the United States government, our government, I've never been more embarrassed at the government of the United States than I am now, because it's the antithesis to me of being a true American to abandon Americans behind enemy lines. And that's exactly what we did. Now, I did watch
senior British officers, senior officers of your closest allies, senior military officers are expressing shame, frankly, at what's happened, at leaving people behind in the way that they did. At the debacle of the departure. And you can argue for years about whether, you know, at some point we were going to have to leave Afghanistan, but there were only 2,500, you know, maybe a few more US troops there at the end. And the key thing about the Afghan army was that the contractors who left also took their software with them. So the Afghan army, although Joe Biden has really talked them down, didn't have the capacity to communicate with their own people. In the last weeks before Kabul fell, they were literally fighting blind, and they were trained to use that software and to fight with all of that equipment. So, you know, the army fell, the country fell, and any illusions that the Biden administration have that the Taliban are going to, you know, keep to any of the deals that they've done clearly must be shattered by the fact that they've now put in place a very hardline administration. As you say, women's rights being trampled on right, left, and center. Oh, as well as all the other things you enumerated, they're also carrying out effectively ethnic cleansing against the Hazara minority in central provinces in the country, out of sight of TV cameras. And the Hazaras are a really interesting minority group because they're the most progressive on women's rights. And who'd have thought the Taliban are the people who are turning against that group most strongly? There are no Hazaras in the government, It's a very prominent minority in the country, and frankly, it's a war crime.
Yeah, well, wait till ISIS gets a hold of an American citizen or an American green card holder. I think you probably have a pretty good idea of what's going to happen. Here's the $50 million question. Why didn't they get out early? Why, you saw it, I saw it, the world saw it, that the Afghan army was collapsing and the Taliban was on the march, and we had plenty of warning that they were making their way up to the northern part of Afghanistan, making their way to Kabul. So when we had full control of the area, why didn't Joe Biden, A, push him back with some drone strikes, and B, why didn't he expedite the withdrawal while he had full control of Kabul?
On the withdrawal question, there was a very strong sense from the Ghani government, the then president of Afghanistan. He pleaded with the Americans not to pull people out because he thought that would be a panic that would, you know, cause a more of a collapse of the government. Well, now, since his government collapsed literally overnight when he fled, it looked as if it was...
Wait a minute, but that doesn't answer the question. Anyway. I don't mean to be rude, David. But we saw the Taliban on the march. We watched province after province after province fall and the Afghan military collapse, and the Taliban was on the move. So this isn't a matter of what Ghani thinks. You know, he took off, he escaped, he took however much money with him. The question is, why didn't Biden, and we have the most sophisticated intelligence communities in the entire world, why didn't we see them on the march and expedite our withdrawal for the benefit of the safety of Americans and our allies, including our friends in Great Britain?
I think it was a mistake. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And I think, this withdrawal, the way that America left Afghanistan, is profoundly damaging to America now. It's profoundly damaging to America in the future. It's very interesting you played that clip of Joe Biden meeting with the leaders of Japan, India, Australia last week. They were meeting to talk about the Indo-Pacific, to talk about the threat of China. And, of course, he couldn't get away from Afghanistan. He was trying to move a tilt towards China, but he's not going to be able to because it's very much on his watch what's happened. And I think that all of the questions that you're asking are questions which are going to be asked by the American public, who may well want Afghanistan to have ended, but certainly not this way.
Well, I can't in good conscience forget that we've abandoned Americans. I just can't. Here's another question I have. How is it possible, and now you've studied this region for such a long period of time.
Yeah.
How is it possible for Tony Blinken and Joe Biden to be so, rather ignorant and naive to expect that they could lecture the Taliban on inclusivity issues involving their new government, and say that they're professional and businesslike, and say that they're turning the page on Afghanistan, and Blinken saying that he expects the Taliban to uphold basic rights? Why would anybody be that ignorant to think that dedicated terrorists that believe in radical Islamic Sharia law would be capable of such reasonableness?
Well, I think he significantly overestimated, their desire and their willingness to engage with the outside world. And I think there has been significant mistakes in, this administration, actually going back to the Obama years, the beginning of the Obama presidency. Biden, Blinken, Sullivan were around with him then, were the strongest advocates in the White House. And I write about this in detail in my book. For withdrawal from Afghanistan, Biden then said, Afghanistan's not a united country. There's nothing we can do there. But I think, in the last few months, they've needed to stand up the Taliban as a sort of insurance policy. There's been a lot of talk in the government in the UK and in Washington, in these governments, that the Taliban are somehow, there's a moderate Taliban. There are people we can talk to. We can set up offices in Doha and we can negotiate with these people. And actually, it's in a sense, that was their insurance policy in order to be able to leave the country.
Okay,
but leaving
Donald
the country
Trump
was what they wanted to do.
Quick break. More with David Loin, former BBC journalist. The Long War. We'll talk about his upcoming book, The Inside Story of Afghanistan and America Since 9/11. And David Loin will join us on the other side. Then we'll get to your calls. 800-941-SHAWN, our number, if you want to be a part of the program.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
On a calm October night, Michael and his wife, they were just out for a walk in their neighborhood when their life got flipped upside down, or just like yours could be. Now, Michael was attacked by a homeless woman who stabbed him multiple times before he was able to restrain her and waited for law enforcement to arrive. But what happens next is why our partners at the USCCA exist. Now, while Michael was in the hospital, a detective literally charged him with assault. Now, this is the new America that we're living in. Luckily, Michael was a USCCA member just like me. He used his training, his education, and his self-defense liability insurance to stay out of jail and save his family from potential bankruptcy. If you want to learn proven ways to deter criminals, defend your family, avoid legal trouble, just go to uscca.com/Hannity right now. You'll put in your email. You'll get a free guide put together by the USCCA and the former head of training for the FBI. Just go to uscca.com/Hannity today. We continue now. David Loin, former BBC journalist. He's got an upcoming book, The Long War, and the inside story of America and Afghanistan since 9/11. Donald Trump's early discussions before any deal was struck with the Taliban was predicated on a few things. Number one was, if you don't follow every dotted I, cross T, if we get to an agreement, every period and comma, I'll obliterate you. Like I did the caliphate, like I did Soleimani and Baghdadi and associates, like I did the Al-Qaeda leader in Yemen. So that was first and foremost. Second was, he would never give up Bagram Air Base. He was going to hold on to that in perpetuity, considering we paid for it and we built it. Number three, it was going to be based on conditions on the ground. So Joe Biden never followed through, and he allowed the Taliban to go on the march. And then when the Taliban finally controls Kabul, then he decides he's going to evacuate everybody. And now we've abandoned. By the way, I think there's still 100 or 150 Brits behind enemy lines as well. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, well, and more than that, there's plenty of people with who the equivalent of green card holders, the people who have a right to come here, and they're being picked off one by one. I mean, there are terrible accounts.
When you say picked off, they're being murdered, they're being shot, they're being killed,
they're being beheaded, and if not them, their family members are being killed and tortured in order to try and find those individuals, and that's door to door. People having to show their papers, having to show who they are, being treated by the Taliban as if they are, you know, genuine enemies of the country just because they supported the UK or they have some right to live here, or just because they supported the US or they have some right to live in the US.
You're not going to have a hard time figuring out who the people are because we left behind the databases and the biometrics. I'll give you the last 20 seconds.
Yeah, but you got to find those people. I think there's a real policy challenge now. So what is America going to do now? Is Biden going to support potential armed resistance because there are currently two?
It's too late.
Going on in Afghanistan.
They left them $80 billion. It's too late for that. The Panjshir Valley is they've already been overrun by the Taliban with our military might and equipment and the most advanced equipment on the face of the earth. I mean, this idiot left, he armed the Taliban. Listen, I got to roll, though. I'm looking forward to your book, 800-941-SEAN. That's David Lyon, former BBC journalist. Quick break, right back. Your calls on the other side, straight ahead.
Believe what the other side claims? That's why there's the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, 25 to the top of the hour, 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. All right, let's get to our busy phones. A lot of stuff happening today and all this week. Watch on these finances. Do I think ultimately the House passes all of this? Yeah, I do. In terms of $5 trillion in reckless new Green Deal socialist spending. The Senate, different story, but we'll see. I have no guarantees. But in the meantime, let's say hi to Chris is in Texas. Hey, Chris, how are you? Glad you called.
Good, Mr. Hannity. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you. I'd like to ask you a question about the border wall, and it kind of goes hand in hand with what you're talking about with the spending. When President Trump was in office, it seems to me that he fought very hard for that wall, and I keep having this number of $5 billion in my head, and that was too much money for them to approve to make that happen. And with all the new spending that they're passing, trillions upon trillions of dollars, and all the money that's being spent on caring for these migrants and shipping them all over the country, transportation costs, food costs, renting out hotels, what does that dollar amount look like compared to the $5 billion that Mr. Trump wanted to build a wall with?
You know, I brought this up earlier, you know, and this is a great question. There are so many countries that actually sell citizenship. Did you know that? A lot of people were saying, wow, I never knew that. In other words, what have I been saying? I believe in legal immigration. All four of my grandparents came here from Ireland at the turn of the last century, right? They came here with no money in their pocket. They even faced discrimination. Irish Catholic need not apply. And anyway, and I know I stand on their hardworking shoulders. They lived in poverty their entire lives. My parents both grew up very poor. My mom, a prison guard. My dad, a family court probation guy and a waiter. And it was, you know, each generation, the hope was that the next generation would do a little bit better. I don't care where you come from. You know, we're all children of God, but there's something of great value here. You know, if you want to become a citizen of St. Kitts or Nevis, you pay $150,000 and there's a sustainable growth fund and a minimum real estate investment of $200,000. St. Lucia, you know, costs amount to roughly $250,000. Antigua, for example, I think it's about $140,000. You donate it to the country's development fund and real estate fund. Dominica, Grenada, Portugal, Malta, Cyprus, Austria, New Zealand. It's really hard, but you can do it. Belize, Australia, New Zealand. I mean, you can buy citizenship, and they're hundreds of thousands of dollars. You know, what are we saying here? Now, I believe in legal immigration. I don't care where you come from. I also believe in merit-based immigration, and I also believe we need to have security checks to make sure you don't have radical associations, health checks in the middle of a pandemic. And then I think that you have to show that you're able to provide for yourself when you get here so you're not a burden on the American people financially. And Joe Biden is letting in millions of people. Then he's holding out. Democrats tried to sneak into the reconciliation bill until the Senate parliamentarian said, no, you can't do that. You know, this idea that will give everybody blanket amnesty. And we're mean and racist if we don't do it. I don't care where you come from. Just do it legally. And we've got to understand something here. when a party offers something of such incredible value and worth, you know, what is the hope? Oh, well, you're going to love us better than that other party, right? Those mean people that want legal immigration. So, you know, I know a lot of people have said that I don't care where you come from. I want a background. I want to make sure you don't have radical associations. In the middle of a pandemic, I want a health check. And I'd like to have merit-based immigration. And also, I'd like to make sure that people can take care of themselves when they come here. And then at that point, welcome to our American family, either if you're here temporarily or if you're here permanently. You know, this is something of, you know, every other country has figured out not only how to stop illegal immigration, but to make a fortune on it. Why haven't we? You know, and then we all get yelled at that we're mean people because we're telling people to go back to the country they came from and go through the process legally. I don't think there's anything mean about it, because if that by definition is mean, then every country that's making a fortune off of this is mean on steroids. Anyway, go ahead.
It just
yes, sir.
Seems like the American public is being footed a great bill, a great dollar amount for what's happening now, as to the bill that we could have seen just to provide some border security and force people into a position to where they'd have to come that right way.
Listen, this is not hard. We had the lowest, somebody told me it was actually 45 years, the lowest rate of illegal immigrants coming into this country. Now, first Mayorkas, who lied to us repeatedly, and he told a whole bunch of whoppers. I went through that earlier in the program. I'll go over it again tonight on Hannity and on the TV show. But I will tell you, you know, it's mind-numbing the costs associated with this. We cannot afford it. Not that we're, you know, we don't want to help people out, but encouraging people to come and then trying to sneak in backdoor citizenship and amnesty for everybody. You know, it's why are the Democrats doing that? Well, I think, again, if you look at how do other countries view citizenship to their countries, they put a huge price tag on it. In many cases, like really good countries, I don't know, if I was looking for another country to go to, and I don't want to leave the United States ever. I'm an American. But if I was looking elsewhere, I would look to, you know, Australia or New Zealand. It costs a lot of money to move there. And a lot of people move to these tax haven countries because they don't have an estate tax. And they take all their money with them. And it's happening in larger and larger numbers every year. But anyway, I appreciate the call. 800-941-SHAWN. Julie is in California. Same question, sort of. What's up, Julie? How are you?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I love and appreciate your show. Your work is very important.
Thank you.
My comment question is around the vaccine card, which I don't agree with the vaccine card because I feel it's a tracking device. But, you know, early on, they talked so much about, like, herd immunity and you know.
By the way, I don't think there's a tracking device in the vaccine. You know, if you get, I guess, a card if you're vaccinated. I don't think there's a chip in it. So I don't know how they're.
No. Well, actually, my daughter just went to a concert here in Los Angeles, and they told her she needed her vaccine card, and she didn't have it on her. So they said, oh, well, you go to this website and type in your name and birth date, and now you have the QR code on your phone.
So they have a data. You're saying that's something I did not know, that they have a database in California on everybody that's been vaccinated. But listen, I'm sure the database exists, you know, in every hospital system, but I would like to think medical privacy exists, but apparently not.
Yeah, I was actually very shocked. So now they've forgotten about this herd immunity conversation, and, you know, they're requiring vaccine cards. So what about the millions and millions of people who have had COVID and they have their natural antibodies? So if they're going to require a vaccine card, why don't they just also have a natural antibody card?
Because then that's not good enough for them. You know, they're not buying into the
natural antibodies is better than the vaccine.
Listen, I'm urging, that's why I'm not in a position, and I'm trying to be really balanced in this and trying to be very responsible because I care about everybody in this audience and I don't want anyone getting sick and making a dumb decision. Okay. But this is where you have to talk to your doctor. Now, Rand Paul, a medical doctor, had COVID, has natural T cell immunity. I'm sure his regular antibody levels have gone down because it's quite a long time since he had it. But he says he believes that's the best. Interestingly, Dr. Robert Malone, who was one of the, he, developed and played the key role in developing the mRNA vaccine technology. When we interviewed him, he says natural immunity is better than the immunity of the very technology that it was fundamental to creating the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines. That's what he says. But with all that said, do your own research, look at your own unique medical history and current condition, and talk to your doctor. And by the way, it's anywhere between 3 and 6 months. If you get COVID, they're telling you don't get vaccinated, you know, at that particular point in time. So what do you do in the interim? You can't go to a restaurant. You can't go to a concert. You can't go to, you know, a ball game. I mean, it gets complicated, but not in Joe Biden's and the Democratic Party's one-size-fits-all medicine world. You know, there are people with rare conditions. There are people with natural immunity. Nobody wants to examine the science on any of these things, it seems. So, it's a lot more complicated when you start actually factoring in real human beings with very unique medical histories, very unique current medical conditions, and whether or not they might have that rare disease that prevents them from getting vaccination. That those people exist. I've interviewed them. So they exist somewhere. But again, you know, I don't know everyone's condition, but they're putting us in a position. It's one size fits all. You better take it or leave it. And now there's this intensifying societal pressure and outright, you know, shaming and lashing out against people that you know nothing about. You don't know anything about somebody's unique medical history. Why should you? I might be the only one that has some concept about medical privacy and doctor-patient confidentiality. I don't hear a lot of people talking about it. Anyway, good call, Julie. Appreciate it. Cheryl is in Colorado. Hey, Cheryl, how are you?
I wanted to talk to you about the border wall. Why in the heck do we have to not have a border wall, but we can have fences and gates and walls around all of these actors, actresses, homes, Pelosi, Schumer, probably Maxine Waters. It just doesn't make any sense. Why can't our congressmen and our senators just stand on the floor and say, we're not doing anything until we change the law, since you're not abiding by the law?
Why don't they? If again, they're supposed to be lawmakers, right? Okay,
right.
They don't want to follow the law.
That's what I always thought.
Okay,
they
but you know, if
law.
You if you and I pick and choose which laws to abide by and which ones we ignore, I'm promising you, it's not going to work out well for us. Like I can't choose
well
to say I'm going to pay less in taxes because I think taxes are too high. I can't. They'll put me in jail in 5 seconds. If I'm like missing a dollar, they probably put me in jail. So it's. You know, the idea that we not only have, they're not enforcing the laws of the land, they're not trying to change the laws of the land, they're just aiding and abetting the breaking of laws. And then that, you know, remember, once people are in the United States, they then become, you know, under federal authority. This is where governors like, you know, Greg Abbott of Texas has had the toughest time. And he's called up the National Guard. He's created miles and miles of walls using state vehicles. I mean, he's using every weapon in his arsenal to try and control the tide of illegal immigrants, but they're being facilitated by Joe and Kamala Harris.
They are.
Yep.
And why don't they send those people from the border to their houses and their neighborhoods?
No, I don't think that, you know, maybe instead of dispersing people all around the country, why don't we send them up to Washington, D.C. and they can live next to Joe? They can live across the street at Lafayette Park. Joe can go over and hang out with them.
Yeah. And you know what? I thought that my parents taught me to never bully people and to talk to people and just be the better of the person. We're creating monsters in our children by everybody shaming us.
It is an ugly, ugly, ugly business, the political world. You know, people have asked me many times, Hannity, why don't you run for office? And I'm like, you must hate me. Linda, is that not my standard answer? You must
it's
not like me.
It's always your answer, boss.
Because, you know, even doing what I do, Cheryl, and I'm not complaining. I love what I do. But trust me, I'm getting hit every single solitary day from all sides. And there's no way I'm ever going to make these people happy. The good news I can tell you is I don't give a flying Adam Schiff. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me what other people that don't like me think. I do this show for people like you, Cheryl, that want to hear news information. We try and do it in an entertaining way that you're not going to get on most shows. That's what we try to do. It's our mission is very clear.
And I appreciate that because my father's side of the family, my dad died about 6 years ago, and I wish that I would have listened to Rush and you when he was alive because he did faithfully. And then my aunt died unexpectedly last year, and I thought she was going to be here for a long time. And, of course, my grandmother years and years ago. But they were my last Republicans in the family. Now I'm left with my Democrat sister, mother, and aunt on the other side. And it's horrible. So I have to listen to you. Thank you.
Well, thank you. But we'll arm you with enough information so that, you know, when they're throwing turkey legs at you at the Thanksgiving Day dinner, that you'll be able to defend yourself, all right?
All right, I will do. Thank you, and you take care, and thanks for being
all right,
there for
Cheryl. All right, that's going to wrap things up for today. We have live coverage from Mexico that you won't get from the media mob. What's really going on down at the border? The disaster of this economic new Green Deal socialism. Larry Kudlow will weigh in. Newt Gingrich, say DVR, Hannity, 9 Eastern. News you won't get from the media mob. We'll see you tonight at 9, back here tomorrow. As always, thank you for being with us. You make this show possible. We will never forget it. See you tonight, back here tomorrow. Hollywood is under siege from an external force. Now, the same Hollywood that sold the American dream, they are now making nightmares a reality. Many major films make choices to appease the Chinese Communist Party to be distributed in China. Now you can join Tiffany Meyer, an investigative reporter, in the Hollywood Takeover brought to you by the Epoch Times, where she reveals how the CCP exerts control over some of the major studios. Now don't miss the most important documentary about Hollywood yet. And for a limited time, you can watch the first 10 minutes for free at HollywoodTakeover.com/Sean, S-E-A-N.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.